Okay, is this any better? K2AMI, thank you very much. KGBR, is this better?
Talking about sock cool now. That's much better.
Okay. We'll just change radios, but let's see, this is on the omnidirectional, it's outside on top of the tower, so it's probably okay. Yeah, seriously iced over. Alright, thanks Tony, no problem. And thank you, Tim. Alright, any other Kilo calls, please call KQBAR.
Philip is a little Oscar. No comment.
KQ3. Fine, any other Kilo calls, please call KQBAR. Okay, any station wishing to check in to the Burton News Radio Association TechnicalNet, you may call at this time with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above. Please call KQBAR.
NJ1W, Dave, no question.
Okay, NJ1W, acknowledged. Good evening, Dave. Any other November calls, please call KQBAR, or any other call, period, KQBAR. Okay, net notice is that there are two comments from Noel. Do any other stations have comments or questions? We'll check in that I missed anybody. Okay, wow, it's the first time we started the net with no questions, with two comments. So, Noel, over to you. And to OEL, KTBAR. Topic one, please. I've been joking this way too much. N2OEL from KQBAR, your comment, sir. Okay. Ah, dear me, this may be the hardest net to start in a long time. Okay, well, I'm just kind of curious while we're waiting if other people have taken the time to throw an SWR bridge on their 2-meter antenna tonight. I would be very curious, especially if you have a Yagi, to throw an SWR bridge on if you don't have one in line all the time. And take a measurement. I'm kind of curious what yours says, because mine is horrendous. I'm showing, 8, 10 to 1, something like that on my omnidirectional antenna. Sorry about that. I realized I was keying over my phone. Any other stations want to take some SWR measurements at home and report to the next very curious to what your SWR looks like. This is a normal winter kind of thing, but, you know, we forget very often. And not so much moisture, although that can be a factor under certain circumstances, but ice is a real problem. Let's see. I have to believe that K2ZO can tell us an ice story about antennas icing and what that caused, what chaos that may have caused. K2ZO, I'll put you on the spot. K2BAR.
Okay. Yes, K2BAR, this is K2ZO. Well, it's surprising sometimes with some antennas where you don't see anything at all. I've had antennas that are fed with 600 ohm open wire line that were covered with ice, and it hardly made any difference. However, my hairpin 20 would get unbelievably high SWR whenever there was.
I think he's got his infarct reversed.
But I'll do that.
He does.
What it does tonight. I left it on 10 meters, and I'll just take a quickie look at it and see what that looks like. But that's my experience. Is some antennas are real bad. Others don't seem to have a purpose.
Okay, Jim, very fine. I think you don't know it, but you're on simplex on the output.
Sorry about that. You want me to repeat that?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I was listening to your hum. That's what I was doing until you hit the reverse button. Sorry about that. Now, what I was saying is that some of the antennas I've had really ice up and cause problems, like an airpin match and a gamma match are bad news when the ice comes. But yet, open wire fed and plain old dipoles sometimes don't seem to be any problem at all. And meanwhile, I'm going to measure my stepper here because I left it on 10 meters when I ran the net the other night. Back in that case, said, oh, sorry for the reverse there.
W-2-A-K-R, receiver.
Oh, why, my 2-meter antenna is giving me grief. It's got that funky open feed, so, you know, it's got a hairpin match. So, the PCUC-141 is exposed to the world, so there's no question about why that's a problem. Alrighty, very good. Any other stations wish to report SWR issues, past or present, based on ice?
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh boy, I think we're going to about to hear about some down east stuff. What do you think? NS2K, KTBAR.
No. I always lived up in the Willywogs, not down east. Anyway, I had a comment that QST has an article on this very, very subject in this month's issue, where they put a little bit of a radome over the gamma match or whatever the matching network or driven element is, and at least that'll protect that element and the matching network from both weather and ice buildup and changing sizes and all that good stuff due to the ice. But I know that that seems like that. Anyway, I know a lot of antennas are much, much more susceptible than others, but it also depends on exactly how many whatever it is, half wavelength it is from your antenna to the radio at that particular frequency. Sometimes you can get surprisingly annoying results. I had one with a broadcast station many years ago that the SWR trip would go at the slightest whim with ice or anything. Wayne wouldn't do it, but anything more than that would just drive us bonkers. But I have a sneaky feeling if I put in, an 18-inch piece of additional wire, it probably would have all gone away.
Yep. Well, I'm just a hair over 2-1 at 144-200 with my Yagi. The FM portion of the band where normally the antenna is flat, as it is across all 4 megs of the band. My 2-meter antenna is 8-1. At 145, it's actually, any responsible transmitter would cut out. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. All sorts of interesting things. Anyone else wish to report some plugging games with their SWR?
No SWR on 10 meters, using the Yankee.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what, your antennas are probably not that isolated, and the truth is, the driven element is, as are all the elements, they're inside of a tube.
That's right, they're in the case, so you can't beat that.
Right, you almost have the, exact opposite of what I have with a 2-meter feed. anything else from anybody?
Yeah, I'd say that was one of the unexpected advantages of the stepper, in that the elements are all inherently in radomes.
Ah, yes, absolutely. And we'll have to look at that article in QST. I don't think my QST has come yet, but everybody else has started to report theirs. You and Tony have reported your QSTs came in today, so I would assume mine's either here and I don't know it, or will be here tomorrow or Saturday.
Yeah, page 42. Usually I get mine late, but for whatever reason, it came reasonably good time this time.
Yeah, I haven't seen the December issue, the January issue yet. Anyway, anybody else with things to report about SWR?
Crazy weather. KTBAR.
WI2W.
And then OEL.
Okay, OEL will get you in a moment. WI2W. Good evening, Steve. You're checked in. Your comments, sir?
Evening, guys. Let's see, I'm running a six-element Chief Yagi, 1.4:1, which is what it normally is, so it doesn't seem to be affected. I don't know how much smaller ice is on it, haven't looked, but it is cut for this portion of the band, so it's performing normally.
Yeah, I think because of the wire spacing and such, I think that's why you're not encountering any problems. Make sure the feed on land tonight. I can tell you, cause problems. Looks like glom the whole feed area up with lots and lots of RTV. Trust me, I'm not about to do that right about now. Just not what I'm interested in doing. Top of the tip, you know, crank down the tower, tip it over, blah, blah, blah. Things are running pretty good, too well enough alone. Although this makes an interesting issue for it. Well, actually, it's also about some January content, so number one, I won't be home much of it. Number two, to the extent that I am home, SWR is under 2:1 or around 2:1, so it's not the end of the world. Anybody else with comments? And we'll go to, well, KTBAR.
D2AMI with the comment.
D2AMI, KTBAR, go ahead, Tony.
You know, back in the fall, I decided to rebuild the rotator on my antenna. Having difficulty moving it in cold weather like this, and testing it tonight isn't working perfectly. Apparently, it's selected a grease that's going to stand up under cold weather and clean up the contacts. And I have a rotating rotator that rotates. That's my comment.
Yeah, very good. What grease did you use, Tony?
I used something that I picked up from Napa called Silglide. It's a silicone grease that's good from minus 30 to plus 600. Waterproof, and it doesn't rot on the temperature variations. It's a general all-purpose grease.
Silglide, it's called?
Yeah, S-Y-L-G-L-Y, I think it is.
YLGLY. Okay, you're going to remember that.
Big test is January.
I'm sorry?
The big test will be in the colds of January.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, it's Martin Luther King weekend this year, and that means I'm down in the neighborhood kind of a bit of a bummer, but that's what it's to be. I mean, that's what we do. Take a bunch of boys down there and teach them some, teach them some benefits of not being a bonehead. Maybe be a little bit better than the average, at least. Anyway, all thanks for my video. Alrighty, this is great. Any other stations wish to comment about their cold weather station icing experience? We'll move on.
Miles to Paul has no problem at all.
Wow, nice to Paul. You didn't think about it, nice to Paul, for years. Okay, well, my G7 seems to be just fine. Nice and flat, looks good. As I said, my horizontal Yagi, well, it's another matter. Alrighty, Noel, you had two cloud comments. I assume that was not either one of them, but let's hear comment number one, and to OEL, can you?
Okay, lately I've been intrigued with concept of reverse speed lighting and working with LEDs, trying various ways of putting together, buying some LEDs off of the internet a while back and made an adaptation to one of those 6-volt flashlights with 16 focus LEDs. I'm not sure the size, maybe the tip of your finger, little finger, yeah. They're pretty big. Anyway, I'm in place in Kmart yesterday, looking for something else, and I happen to walk by the cancer department, and I see this light that has 23 LEDs, and it was $7.29, and I just couldn't resist it, so I bought it, brought it home. It runs off of 4 AA's, throws about as much light, I'd say, as a 15-watt light bulb. Left it on all night with four of those new 1850 milliamp hours. At 9 hours, it was just the batteries were on their last leg, so I figured you got 8 hours worth of use out of it. That's a lot of light, and I'm going to bring it in to get night. The other thing is, our friends at, what is it called, this place over here in 17, right next to Home Depot, the discount place. Anyways, I was in there to get a scraper today. National Wholesale Liquidator. Two 8-watt fluorescent 12-volt lights, $6. $3 a piece. I'm going to bring those in the kit night too. For emergency lighting, you can't do better than that. Throw a pair of ends with some power poles, or they come with lighter plugs. Plug them in, and I mean, 8 watts, you're going to get a lot of light for a long time on even a relatively small 12-volt battery. I'll bring those in the kit night. Back to you, KTVAR and to OEO.
Good evening.
So you have both fluorescent and LED type. What voltage does the fluorescent run on?
They're made as in the package with a 12-volt cigarette lighter plug to plug into your car cigarette lighter. They'll run off of pretty much any 12-volt source they have. I imagine a transistor multivibrator inside to pick up the voltage. We used to use them for camping. I bought them when they were expensive at two for $10. And I was just amazed to see them at two for $6. Reasonably bright. I don't think they're giving out the full 8 watts. But they are really nice for camping. I mean, we'd be out there and we'd have a couple of those in the camp, tent or in the van while we were using it. And it gives you a lot of light, even if it's 6 watts fluorescent after, because I don't think it's full brightness. Still, a couple of those, lots of light, sailing through an amp, I would be amazed. I don't think I measured it one time, I just don't remember exactly. A relatively low current draw.
That's pretty fascinating. Okay. Good. All righty. Any other stations with comments about this lighting business? Okay, very fun. I guess your next question, next comment is up, Noel. And 2OEL, W2, probably KGBAR, your other comment? Okay. At this time, we'll take additional check-ins from the Urban Security Association technical net. Any stations wishing to check in, member or not, please come with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment for the net. This is KQBAR. Okay, very fine. New subject coming up on my own. I've been informed by email by Matt Rifle, KQNUD, and Keith Ostrov, and USO executive, that, as you know, Matt has stepped down as Burton County District Emergency Coordinator, and that I will be appointed as the Emergency Coordinator for the county area, basically. I'm basically going to be looking for the, not only this club, but other crew of their readiness. I'm going to try to work on some things that clubs already do and kind of improve our deployable capabilities. And also, frankly, our reference capabilities for guys who can't get out and don't
six stations doing stuff, so that needs to be there as well. So we'll talk more about that in the ongoing future, but needless to say, I'm looking to find out every which way we can to insinuate amateur radio into the workings of CERB agencies. In other words, it need not be just an Aries operation. Aries may also be a training and personnel management resource, and we just put people up in CERB agencies, and they become those agencies' volunteers, if that's what they would like to do. People have interest in everything from Sky One to the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, other agencies as well. County OEM Beyond Racing, CERT programs, municipal CERT programs, and miscellaneous other things that come to mind, so we want to find a way to insinuate amateur radio to as many different CERT agencies from the load as possible. So if you have thoughts on that, how to or where to, who with, please feel free to come up with that information. There is a very strict interpretation of what a Aries operation is. We will abide by that, but I think we can also have some extent the visibility of amateur radio. If people are fond of working for other agencies, but they want to do it with amateur radio, this can be a training and resource, if you will, training personnel development resource for those agencies and the operators that go there. Some of you may recall that we had Aries operators working with the Red Cross during the flood last spring, and we also had members who are Aries who were because their CERT affiliations were associated with Burton County OEM and assigned to the Red Cross, at which point we all became Red Cross volunteers. And we pretty much interoperated seamlessly with what I call the straight line Aries members. So we'll be able to kind of build on that kind of relationship. If we drill together, then we'll perform well together when the crunch time comes. Anyway, we are expecting more bad weather this weekend. And, again, keep your batteries charged, keep things square in any which way you can. Tomorrow and the next day will be a lull before Saturday night into Sunday, where we're expecting another good wall of snow and ice. So, I haven't looked at the forecast for that time frame, but I understand it may be more substantial than what we got here in this recent snowstorm. So anyway, any comments about risk preparedness, technology, or operations, please call KTBAR.
KTBAR, WJJK.
Yeah,
yeah, one of the things that you need to get into where things gotta be is an ID card. And every ID card I've got has expired. Nobody seems to take an interest in getting these ID cards updated. And both that we got Red Cross cards about a year or so back at Barra that Bob Javits took a bunch of pictures, and they were all laminated and everything. And I think that by the time we got them, they were only good for about 6 months and they expired. And then same thing with the Gracie's cards from the last one in 2002. So, I think that's a function that should be taken care of, because otherwise somebody's going to look at you and say, what's this piece of paper mean, you know? That's one thing that ought to be addressed. Back to Matt, WJJK.
Yeah, I would agree. In fact, the online database is is something that we're thinking about as well. Where basically you would provide a record in the standard format, we just read it and be done with it. And that way we can put out a card to you pretty straightforwardly. I don't issue Racy's cards. I wouldn't be issuing Racy's cards, but we would be able to certainly issue an Aries card. What we're probably going to do is provide a cross-reference to what agencies you feel most comfortable supporting and in what way, and then with what equipment, general availability, etc. We want to get a profile of those kinds of things, put that in a database, and probably manifest some other credentials on your card itself, with your Aries card, for instance. We have an Aries member who has been reputed to be associated with Racy. We would note that on his card or her card. Same thing with CERT, same thing with Red Cross, Salvation Army, Sky One. If you take the Sky One, your spotter training, you have a spotter number. We'll probably make note of that. If you hold a CPR card or any other advanced first aid or other medical capability, probably note that. Probably if you have other capabilities, we might note that too, just as a database reference. Again, anything beyond what's in the memorandum of understanding between said CERT agency and ARI pretty much can be restricted to the role of a communicator. However, that's not what the agency typically want. What they want is the communicator who can do whatever their function is as they see it. We have a communication-centric view. They have other functional roles that require, shall we say, communication as a force multiplier, or as an effective enhancement tool. And in point of fact, that's what it becomes. So, if I know that there are people who have passed in Red Cross volunteers and like doing certain kinds of things, like being in a shelter or this and that, then if we know that there's a need for a shelter, I'm going to call those guys first to do shelter ops first because they know how to do that. There's somebody who needs to support a liaison between the OEM and some other agency, but not necessarily under the Racy's auspices. We'll still probably pick somebody with Racy's experience. Just out of common sense, we probably then would have opened up other doors. So again, the model which I'm thinking about through it. Goldwater Nichols. Okay. There was back when Senator Goldwater was alive kicking and rock and roll in the Senate, he teamed up with Senator Nichols, if I remember right, to come up with a new command structure for the U.S. military. They came up with a set of four-star billets, and what those were, those commands, were either operational commands or support commands. And the ones the Army has, in particular, is ForceCom and TRADOC. And ForceCom is the forces command, basically, that's where you develop forces, you manage your personnel, if you will. And then TRADOC training and doctrine. And so, God knows we have a lot of training and doctrine within amateur radio as to how you communicate, blah, 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 what protocols you follow, blah, 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 blah. So we would find out what the operational folks need, as the CERT agencies, like Aries, Aries itself is its own CERT agency at some level, the Red Cross and Racy's and on, places where we can provide operators. And then we would match skills and personnel to needs of CERT agencies, and that's kind of the model I'm using. my head. I think it'll make for happier, more involved, and a higher level of operational readiness on an ongoing basis. Also, cross-integration with folks, because we could train as communications only everybody to know everybody else's disciplines at some level. And I think that'd be good to that. Anybody have thoughts on that, either now or on an ongoing basis, please feel free to type up.
K2AR. K2AM, I was just on that sort of about Red Cross.
Sure, Tony, go ahead.
Red Cross has a shelter management program. And if you're going to be involved with a shelter, you have to qualify for the shelter management program. It's given at the Red Cross facilities on a regular basis. So you just can't pick somebody who would like to to a shelter. You have to be qualified and pass the shelter management program. One item. The second item is that right now, as we've been informed, this is about September, so Red Cross is totally reorganized. There is no longer a Bergen Red Cross chapter. There is a North Jersey chapter that has branches in Bergen County, at Hackensack, and the same chapter. The same with Northern New Jersey chapter has branches in Hudson County and I think Jersey City. So Red Cross per se is no longer local, it's regionalized. And right now the region that it comes out of is out in Fairfield. So the Fairfield Red Cross facility is the headquarters for the Northern New Jersey Red Cross building. Even when we check into the Red Cross Net, we check in as the Northern New Jersey Red Cross Bergen chapter in Hackensack. Well, things have changed in the last year, and there are new managers that are changing all the time, so you've got to keep up to date.
Yeah, you bring up a really good couple of points there. Tony, one is... if you're going to be a shelter manager, yes, you have to take the course, but if you are an ARES member assigned to a shelter as a communicator or some other function, not managing the shelter, but doing the bidding of the shelter manager and the client that they have in whatever capacity and consistent with their capabilities, et cetera, that's fine. Certainly you could end up being a shelter manager if you've taken the course, and Red Cross wants you to do that, and that's what you want to do. That's fine. And my guess is a shelter manager who's got an amateur radio handy talking on his hip, you know, is probably a good resource. That's something to give a lot of consideration to. But, you know, when you're doing the thing in Lodi and then later on it, in Paramus, we were using amateur radio to coordinate our own operations in fulfilling the mission of the Red Cross on site and also off site. So, you know, that's the kind of operation I'm thinking about. The other point you made, which is regarding Red Cross chapter organization, you're absolutely right. It is run out of Fairfield now. So I think it's Bergen, Essex, Passaic, Hudson. I think those are the four counties. I don't know if Union County is in that mix. But, yeah, we certainly can figure that out in due course. But you're absolutely right. And they have an operation, an amateur radio operation out of Fairfield. We probably will need to plug into that. I've already been in contact with one amateur from Passaic County regarding this matter and others, we'll probably have to bring in Essex as well. It'll probably be good for some DECs to get together with the Section Emergency Coordinator and see what needs to be done to kind of generalize the model. But, you know, within the scope of whatever we have here, we will identify people, their capabilities, their interests, and their credentials, and work within that to provide folks most prominently qualified to survey served agencies that request resources moving to radio.
Okay, any more from K20 or anybody else after you? K2AMI, K2Air.
I have a comment about the government of the
group of the Red Cross workers have gotten themselves licensed, and they run the amateur radio station at the Red Cross facility in Fairfield. So Red Cross is interested in becoming licensed and becoming amateur radio operators. So it's a direction that maybe we could help in.
That's right. In fact, they have another course in January. I believe the weekend of the club president's meeting that Saturday, they're doing a crash course. Somewhat similar to the one that we're putting together on the 28th. Noel, why don't you take it with your comment, and we'll see where that takes us. I've got one more about the crash course, actually, speaking of training.
W2AKR repeater.
Right after I was finished talking, so I ran out, and I couldn't make it back in time to pick up the rig before we went on to something else. See, my comment was, Maywood CERT had Joe Peters down here, and he gave an abbreviated 4-hour version of the normal, at least 16-hour course, maybe it's 8 hours, maybe 16 hours, I don't remember, but it was the shelter management course for CERT members, which surprised the heck out of me, but I took it. So that's something to be considered, too. Maybe we don't have to take the one at the Red Cross. Maybe we can take one of the CERT ones. Back to you, taking the air and 2OM.
Okay, he did it for which town, CERT, I'm sorry?
Joe Peters and I forget whether it was Rob or the other Pavlik came to Maywood. We went to the nice little Columbus Hall, and we spent 4 hours taking the shelter management course, they taught it, and it was Maywood CERT.
Okay, so and they gave you regular shelter management cards at the end?
I haven't received my card yet, but it was an abbreviated version. He told me that the full version for the shelter manager is, I believe, 16 hours. This is an abbreviated version given to the CERT members so that we could effectively coordinate and work into a Red Cross shelter and to OEM.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. So in 4 hours, he gave you enough of an overview as to be able to take someone who's got CERT training and perhaps amateur radio training, but certainly CERT training, and make you aware of what the key elements of shelter operation are about so that you can become a walk-in functional worker in a shelter, understands there are protocols and rules that are probably extending beyond your knowledge base. You know, oh, by the way, there's a shelter manager, and oh, by the way, you know, that person is lost, period. You know, that kind of thing. So that's a good idea. We could talk to Joe. We could also talk to Joe about getting a shelter management course going. I'm sure if we had 2 8-hour days on a weekend, we could probably fill a room pretty nicely with shelter manager types. Away we go. So that's something to think about as well. Good input. Anybody else on this topic with K2BAR?
W2JK. This is KC2PYB.
Okay, we have two stations. KC2BYB. And what's the other station with a comment?
W2JK with a question.
Give me 1 second. BYB, go with your name and your question or comment.
K2BAR, K2PYB. My name is Richard. I'm with 10-7. Trying to join your organization also. The only comments I have, two comments. One, at one of the areas of meetings, we were told the state was trying to come up with some kind of card, and if we all wait for the state to come up with it, you know, we'll probably all be too old to operate the radios. My other comment is the set drill that we run like once a year, which has been hijacked by the state police, is of little or no use to the people down at my level. Most of the drill is confined up up to the section level or the county level, and it's of no use to us. I don't think we have to wait for the state. We should be running our own drills that are more substantive and draw in the people at the lower level. Over.
Yeah, I think they've got too much of a macro level view of the world. You're absolutely right. Good point. You bring up a good point, Rich. Richard, pardon me. Welcome to NET. This NET is every Thursday night at 9 o'clock on Technical NET. What you can do is anybody who would like to either have a station appointment or an EC appointment within ARF, you need simply to send me an email at whiskey2tango@arrl.net. It's that simple. whiskey2tango@arrl.net. Tom Cummings, W2JEK-PHBAR.
W2JEK, Gordon. One thought on it is shelter management business. As a manager of the shelter, I would think somebody from the Red Cross is going to be there calling the shot for this. As some communicator from the outside organization, such as Ares or whoever the amateur radio services provide, I think they're going to be, we're mostly communicators, aren't we?
Good evening.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Tom. And the strict parameters of the memorandum of understanding between the ARRL and the Red Cross regarding ARES are that we are communicators. Having said that, many people, when they are sent to the Red Cross, whether or not they're going as an ARES person sitting in the shelter, or whether they're going as a third person who has an M3O license and a radio strapped to his hip, you generally these days get to fill out a piece of Red Cross paperwork and you become a Red Cross volunteer. Not one that has had one of those background checks so exciting to everybody and arranged other things. You actually fill out a piece of paper so that if you split your head open while under their operational control, they'll fix you. They're responsible for fixing you. So there's some good insurance reasons for why you do that. I'm not adverse to coming under the operational control of served agencies as long as they're responsible for mopping up the pieces should something bad happen. So I think there's some advantages to that. Having said that, if you are content being strictly a communicator, you could still end up having them, sign you up as a walk-in volunteer. That's their model. They don't want anybody in the building or in their area of control that they don't have an accountability for. So even as strictly as a pure communicator, you're going to do that. As far as shelter management or even other functions between shelter management and communication, if you have communication as an enhancement tool and you happen to be an amateur radio operator and you use your radio in the conduct of that operation, nothing bad comes to amateur radio's reputation for having done so. And that's kind of my point. I would gladly take someone out of the ARES operational control and put them directly into the control of X, Y, or Z served agency if amateur radio gets credit for the good that they do. Does that answer your question, Doug?
Yeah, I guess so. I understand that they have insurance things and stuff like that, but I know from the police reserve we had, you went on, before you went on duty, you signed in the book and signed out when you came off duty and things like that. So, they do have to have some kind of a handle on it. And again, they, We were at a meeting at when we had upstairs at the Red Cross building because they were doing renovations downstairs. And Joe Peters, they said they didn't want to have any long-term ID cards. So by the way, you got to have a guy that's doing ID cards full-time to keep everybody aboard, I think. So that's one of my pet peeves about this whole thing. Is that same thing with the ratings. And, that's the first thing, that's your first key, that's the key to the door to get in there. And of course, we have a license to operate, so that's no problem. But, where we go from there?
I want to move on to the subject. However, that's why we want to know what the interest and experience of the individual operators are, capabilities. Because we're going to basically match them to what you want to do when situations come up. Because as a practical matter, we're all volunteers. We can stay home. We don't have to do this. This is not a job. We choose to go out and use our God-given talents and resources in the support of others who are having other issues that are less, folks who are less fortunate. So we need to keep an inventory of what our folks can and are interested in doing. Number two, when you talked about signing in the police reserves, when I signed up, when I was sent down to the Red Cross by Omniup County OEM, not as a RACES operator, but as a CERT member who had communications background, we all filled out a 3 or 4 page application in Hackensack. We then got to Lodi, we signed in, we got to Hackensack, or to Paramus later, and we signed in there, and eventually we signed out, or we went home, as the case may be, but, in fact, I went on a dispatch with one other volunteer, and we didn't sign out, we signed out of the shelter, but we signed out to perform a task at the direction and request of the shelter manager with a pair of clients, so blah, 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 blah. So, all that consideration is done. And amateur radio gets the credit. Does that fall under the MOU for Aries? Absolutely not. Does amateur radio get credit for it? Absolutely. And that's the point. So Aries should be, and to Richard's point, that SETs and drills need to be low-level operations where it gets people involved. We're not sitting around waiting for the command authority to decide what's happening in Trent. They don't know. The issue, we're going to have a lot more observe and report kind of work, and then opportunities for extended training to help us better interact with served agencies. So those are the two things I would like to do. As communicators, we're going to do observe and report, because that's what we're supposed to do. And as and we'll also provide opportunities for people to, consistent with their interests, extend their knowledge and training so as to better be able to serve agencies in the manner in which they expect us to perform. All right. I think on that note, do we have a new topic? CGBAR. Okay. Wow. Anybody else want to just have any last or more comments on this topic before we call it a day?
KCBAR, KCBYB.
Very good, Richard. Just verification. Kilo Charlie 2, Bravo, Yankee Bravo.
Kilo Charlie 2, Papa, Yankee Bravo.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Your P's and your B's are a little muffled, so it's okay. How can I help you, sir?
Just on the last topic, and then we'll let it go, like you said. There is another course. I'm also with the Bergen County Medical Reserve Corps under Jim Doherty, who's also a ham radio operator. I think you know him. They have another course, which is for people who work in the shelters or volunteer in emergency shelters. And it's about a 4-hour course, and which we all had to take over the Medical Reserve Corps. It doesn't qualify you to run one, just like you say. There'll either be somebody there from the Red Cross or somebody from the municipal authority who's been appointed to run the to run it. We're under their command. But this gives you the operations, the different types of shelters, about four of them, and how the Red Cross is placed with that municipal authority, what your role is, could be in that in the shelter. Over.
Very good, Richard. Just out of curiosity, and yes, I do know Jim Docker. I've known Jim for 30 years. I was a teenager when I met Jim. Jeremy, I'm pushing 50 now. In any case, how is it that, that you're in Medical Reserve Corps? What is your capacity?
I'm a career emergency medical technician and retired from the New York City Fire Department EMS and presently work for the Paramus EMS.
Do you know Julie Painshunk?
Absolutely. She's the captain of the force.
I figured as much. She's also the godmother of two of my children.
She's a fine woman and so's her husband.
Oh, you betcha. And they have a lovely son, too. I've known Anthony for years, too. Anyway, we'll talk offline about that. Anyway, let's see, what else can I do here? We've had a rather diverse night here. Kind of got off on an emergency services thing. But that's okay. That seems to be interesting in itself. The SWR is down a little bit in my shack, happy to say. A little bit, but not much. Oh, man. That 2-meter yagi is really hosed up. Alrighty. Well, are there any other questions, comments for the net? This is KTBA.
W2JETA question.
Don and... Who was the other station? We'll get Don first, though. Who was the other station?
Tony, K2AMI.
Hey, very good. Don first.
Okay, you going to elaborate at all on your crash course, et cetera, on the 28th?
It was something I forgot to do. Yeah, I'll do that right now. We are conducting a crash course starting... we're gathering at 9:30 in the morning at St. John's in Bergenfield on the 28th. It's a Friday. We figure Friday during a holiday week, you might be able to steal the day. There will be a nominal fee of $20, which will cover food and one test session, one test exam for the evening. I believe tests are $15. Don, correct me if I'm wrong. Kind of where I'm going with that. We might make it 25 if the cost of food goes up. We'll see. We're going to provide you essentially pizza and our sandwiches for lunch and for supper. And we're looking to have a test session around 7 o'clock. So we'll take some breaks, but we're going to keep everybody together basically today. In fact, why don't we just say $25? That way I know I have enough money for food. But anyone's welcome to attend. We ask that you dress appropriately. Keep in mind that there will be some useful people there as well. Scouts from my troop and maybe a few others. Don has graciously offered to provide a VE team around 7 o'clock. I think that's what we said, Don. Correct me if I'm wrong. For technician class. We're only going to do technician exams. You, subject to the timing, you'll have the opportunity to take a second session, a second test if you need to. But the recommended textbooks are the Fatal Wear License Manual and the Gordon West Q&A book. We'll probably be using a set of bibliographies based on the Gordon West book, that's planned at this time. We're asking people to gather around 9:30 in the morning, and we'll tell you where later. Again, w2ttt@adol.net is a good way to contact me. And we'll have lunch probably around 12:30. About 1:30 we'll start up again. About 4:30 we'll have a
135 on those supper. We'll post supper demonstrations or two, and just brushing up, getting people all psyched up for the test. By 7 we'll start, 6:30 we'll start, you know, getting people thinking about the test, and by 7 we'll, you know, working on test administration. So this is Friday the 28th, St. John's and Bergen Field. Doc?
Yeah, okay, good. The test fee is $14. However, if somebody fails a test and comes close, wants to do a retest, they're going to have to pay another $14. And, yeah, we can, I understand you want to have a person come in, your wife, with a safer upgrade. I was contacted by one of our para members. I might invite him over to the same thing. He wants a paper upgrade, and that's all right with you. Back to you.
Absolutely, Don. Absolutely. I do know for a fact the test session will be conducted in the church basement. The daytime session is unclear, so they're going to be in the church basement or someplace else. I have to verify that. But it's likely we'll be there as well. In any case, thank you for doing that. And, I think the cost for the day is going to be $25. You provide your own book. You got to bring your book with you. I'll get the title. Someone shoots me an email, and I'll get you the titles that are good reference materials and what specific books we're going to be using, or book actually. It's probably the Gordon West book that we strongly recommend. But if you've used something else, that's fine. But we're trying to keep things as cogent as possible. Any other questions, comments, or confusions, please call KTPAR. Okay, very good. Tony, I'm going to pass it to you, and you remind everybody about the January meeting while you go merrily ahead with that. K2AMI, W2TTT. Thanks, Tom.
K2AMI, what Gordon is alluding to is that the next VARA meeting will be the first Sunday in January, which will be January the 6th, I believe. So there will be time to sober up from the big New Year's weekend, and which will be in the middle of the week. It'll be like a Monday, Tuesday type thing for New Year's Eve. And then January the 6th will be the VARA meeting at the Ridgewood Red Cross building on Godwin Avenue in Ridgewood. And the second thing, Gordon, you didn't allude to the Aries debt and perhaps lots of free discussions that we had tonight would be more appropriately discussed at the Aries debt. And you might invite everybody who is interested to show up at the Aries debt, which occurs only one night a month. I am not sure of the time, although I know the frequency is here at this frequency. So you might want to square that away and invite people to come to the Aries Net and have a free discussion there on topics like we did tonight. We've taken away from the technical topics by talking about the other items, which is a good start, but I think we should continue our discussions about Aries at the Aries Net.
Okay, well, as I say in the introductory comments every month, or every week, amateur is a physical hobby, therefore any question about amateur radio is probably fair game. But, yep, well, we were all in on, you know, how to get a left-handed smoke shifter to radiate signals through the earth, you know, the other side. So, since we were lacking those questions today, it was fortuitous, so be it. I did not mention the net because I'm not so sure it's going to stay there where it is. There probably will be one in January on that night, on that day. I'll mention it, but there may be others as well, consistent with the point that Richard was making about the utility of. But currently the net is the second Monday of the month. It's at 7:30 on this repeater, followed by the
section area at 8 o'clock on 146.895. The dilemma with that is that it's rushed, it's very silted, and it's not a lot of opportunity for training. There's not a lot of opportunity to go do something. It's a good informational net, and it also is poorly attended, and I'm trying to ascertain why that is. So I have my eyes on determining why that is, what would be better, and possibly making changes with that. We may not replace that net, we may just do that as a free section net, and we may change the Bergen County net to be either A, more frequently, and B, more information on nature, we'll see. I was actually thinking of having it either before or perhaps after the Baronet on Wednesdays, actually. I'm thinking after might be better, but we'll see. And the idea there would be, by the way, to bridge between our net and then the section traffic net, which is JB and Lee on 7-0-10-30. So I'm thinking about that. I got a couple of ideas in my head. So, again, I want to first, before I decide anything, find out what the operational requirements are, availability, et cetera, of the people involved, who they are. I know who they are traditionally, but who else might want to join the pot and what would be better for everybody. So that was the reason for my being coy about it. Tony, K2AMI, KTBAR.
Good. Keep on the side listening.
Okay, any other questions, comments, or questions for that? Please call K2BAR. Well, I want to thank everybody for their participation tonight. We had a rather interesting diverse broad spectrum of stuff. Everything from Arduino efficient emergency lighting as well, to SWR through the ice, to Tony's point about Snow Glide, thermally tolerant grease for rotators. And of course, so we got a lot of input about various opportunities in the emergency support area, shelter management, credentialing, ID cards, ARIs, how amateur airbrakes can be affected by other people. So that was kind of cool too. And I want to thank K2 AMI, KOEL, MTK, W2JK, W2DDD, W2GOD, U2ZO, NJ1W, WITW, and KT2 Papa Yankee Bravo. This is W2TTT operating with K2BAR. Thank you everybody for returning your visa to normal entry. Thank you very much. Have a great week. And charge your batteries.